So quite a day in downtown Johannesburg, Sower Street and President Street in the Library Gardens, the scene of a political showdown. The DA gathered in Marshalltown and then marched in the direction of Luthuli House. As happened, I think, 8 years ago, they didn't get to the entrance at Sower Street, but they will feel, I would imagine, that they got reasonably close, the Library Gardens. And the ANC Youth League will presumably say as well, well, they wanted to come to the door and we made sure they didn't. So what was achieved by a busy day of marching? Somebody who has a very useful sun hat for after a long day in the sun in Kosikorna Duma. What did you make of it all? Both sides insist that they are right in the way they frame the issue. But did anyone win?
Well, so from what we have, I mean, as you put it, both sides actually claim the credits. The DA said that they were close enough and that the ANC heard the message. You remember that the criticism against the DA has always been, why take the march to the ANC's Luthuli House offices? Why not go to an office of the state or the presidential office or even go to Megawatt directly at Eskom offices? The DA insists that the ANC is responsible for the country's energy crisis. The ANC Youth League as well came out in numbers, albeit there were fewer in terms of numbers compared to the DA. We heard from the police saying that, speaking to us, that about 50 buses of DA members actually arrived there. But still, as much as the ANC Youth League members were fewer than the DA, they did manage to create an atmosphere of fear that the DA dare not pass where it was limited to, and that was just by the Bayesno Deer Streets.
So how did the police do? I mean, were they well organized, well prepared?
So the argument is that the police handled this very, very well. I will say this as a journalist, I did observe quite agitated people on both sides.
Yes.
When it comes to the ANC Youth League, some of them were carrying shamboks, and within the DA as well, there were songs that were quite provocative, songs that you translate as otherwise insulting to ANC leaders. But in the way in which the police managed this, I would say it was quite successful, given the number of people that were there. They really conducted themselves in a very calm manner, even when crowds seemed to gather strongly and singing out loud and unite and put up these dramatics. We know that the people who are constantly lighting up fireworks so as to create this impression that a stun grenade.
Was that coming from both sides?
So it was mainly occurring at Luthuli House, and yes, it was just not clear from who exactly was doing it, but there was a consistent firework being lit up.
Yes.
And it was shocking because you can imagine when you hear the large banging sound,
yes,
it can cause panic. But even with that, the police handled it very, very well because they did not play into the gallery where it appeared that they were being tested and being tempted to actually be in a confrontation with demonstrators.
So in terms of leadership, I mean, let's start with the DA. What do they say happens next? They've made the march. They will argue that they made the point, albeit a point that has been the subject of great debate. We've had terrific conversations here on 702, Bongani kicking things off and Clement moving it forward along. But what does the DA say then they do next?
Well, John, I want to say first, you're correct that the ANC did view this as a publicity stunt. They called it an electioneering gimmick. Well, the DA says that going forward now, they'll be holding a series of protests. Now, they are against the 18.65% tariff increase that was granted to Eskom. They say that the president's instruction for Eskom not to actually implement the tariff increase is also a publicity stunt, because the president, in his words, John Steenhuisen's words, the president is overreaching here. He does not have a mandate to instruct Eskom as to how much that it can charge, and therefore they want to make sure that there are other concerted ways to make sure that Eskom commits to not implementing the tariff increase.
And from the ANC side, do they concede in any way, shape or form at all that they, as a political party, despite their insistence on the separation between party and state, bear some responsibility for the state of Eskom and the many years lost where power solutions might have been implemented?
Well, so from what I've gathered, because this is a question that we've even asked prior to coming to this march, is that ANC members ANC leaders as well, and particularly the point that was emphasized by the ANC Youth League convener Nonceba Mhlaudi, is that they acknowledge that there's an energy crisis.
Yes.
But they do not, they say that they want to put it squarely on the feet of the Eskom executives. They are saying that in all Eskom problems are actually with the Eskom executives, and that is why the ANC Youth League said today that they started calling on for the removal of Andre de Reiter 2 years ago, that they started calling for the removal of the board and Mr. Pravin Gordhan is the Minister of Public Enterprises almost 2 years ago. And so for them, it's a stance that has to do with technocrats rather than politicians.
So in other words, the people who were hired are solely at fault, but the people who hired them bear no blame. So it's an interesting approach to HR. But thank you very much. And Corsic Corner, Duma. Just on that point that they were making, that this is all electioneering. I mean, the answer is yes, it is. And maybe what we should just say, that every single thing any political party does in the next, however long it'll be, we've got this year and we've got a chunk of next, so call it 16, 18 months, is going to be done with the 2024 election in mind. Now, does that mean that there's a certain slant given to the actions people take? Yes, it's a bit like accusing rugby players of tackling in many ways. But also, there are issues that it is the job of political parties, be they in power or out of it, to tackle. So it's going to be interesting. But when people say, oh, this is just electioneering, I don't think that disqualifies the point that's being made. I think we need to have a conversation about the point itself and whether that point is valid. And there we can debate long and hard.